And it's really very troubling. You hear a term called deep state all the time. I don't know if I'm right or wrong when I give my definition of it, but here's our definition of it. And what we're witnessing in that ecosystem is a deep state approach to the accumulation of tax dollars, either by avoiding paying tax, so you keep it, i.e. nonprofit, or, as you just described, once taxes are collected, a redistribution through the channels you just described of tax dollars, where members of the ecosystem that we've identified, we know they are, we've got their names and numbers, we've got everything, are the beneficiaries of those collected tax dollars. It's kind of a bookended operation. You don't pay tax on one side, taxpayers do, and once you've collected taxpayers' dollars on the other side, there's a redistribution mechanism where it comes back to those same people who don't pay tax. You get it on both sides of the house. Very troubling. We've identified this throughout the 501c3 arena. This case we have filed has, as you know better than us, taken to the attention of people within the government. And maybe you can even talk to that better than we can. To the point where, if you look the case up, it's actually under seal. Which is extraordinary that a publicly supported nonprofit entity and a case involving them is under seal. Why? There's nothing of personal tax returns. There's nothing personal about this. This is about an entity supported by the taxpayers. So that whole side of the case we can't speak to. But the cash flow that you're talking about and what's going on within that cash flow is what leads to a case like this being under seal. It's extraordinary that this should be under seal when the taxpayers are the ones who fund it, either through donation and or subsidy by not having to pay tax. So what one entity doesn't pay, if the government uses tax dollars, someone else has to pay. They're subsidizing them at the applicable federal and state tax rates.
Well, just real quick,
it's
John.
Extremely troubling.
John, just real quick. People out there saying, why can't we get all the details about these things? Why aren't Moynihan and Doyle talking about the details? You can't talk about the details because the folks who wanted it sealed, the folks who petitioned the court to seal it is the IRS. They say, you got to lock this thing down. These guys filed this case. They have all these attachments. They have all these documents, tons of documentation. This can't be out in the public. We got to keep this quiet. So that's why it's sealed. It wasn't your choice. And two, then I'll let you guys talk. This is my style just to let people talk, but I just wanted to interject. I talked to guys in Justice, and they say DOJ is terrified of this case. The FBI and Treasury, the IRS, they had guys that wanted to work this case and did work the case. But a guy like Barr, everybody thinks Barr is this guy, you know, he's a white hat, all this stuff. His DOJ is terrified of the case. They want to keep a lid on this. They want to keep it sealed. They're happy to keep a lid on it. So that's the feel I'm getting. It was described to me by one guy as a nuclear bomb.
Well, the multiplier on this is extraordinary because having done some of these 501c3 cases, to me, that is the deep state. Larry and I have done the research. This sector of nonprofits, $1.9 trillion dollars a year in the United States, $1.9 trillion a year flows through this sector untaxed. $1.9 trillion. It's extraordinary, which includes universities and this and that. And everybody wants to know why we're broke. If you're a college town, if you're a city in America that has colleges and universities, everybody applauds and claps their hands and says, isn't this great? Well, we see so many universities involved in that case, recipients of funds. So these universities have endowments. They don't pay tax on the interest that they earn. Those same universities are receiving grants of tax dollars. Those universities are paying no real estate tax, even if they make a pilot payment, payment in lieu of taxes. It's a percentage of what the rest of us are being taxed. And to cap it all off, after having paid no income tax, these folks ask for federal financial aid. They actually get financial aid as well. So when you look at those 5 points, all 501c3s, now you bring this to the Clinton Foundation and all these other foundations, $1.9 trillion, no tax. And everybody wants to know why the country's broke. That would be the 10th largest GDP unit in the world. In the world, that would be the 10th largest unit. We are watching chaos ensue in America right now. Okay? We need more money for this. We need more money for that. We need this. We need that. $1.9 trillion flows through this every year. And no one says anything about it. It's outrageous. That's the deep state.
Yeah, and Michael, I mean, just to be very specific, okay, we look at the consortium that the Clinton Foundation formed in late 2003. And who's in that consortium? Harvard University, Columbia University, Health Alliance International, which is affiliated with the University of Washington. Okay, and it's an outfit that led it, that implemented was the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, also a Boston-based initiative led by a fellow by the name of Donald Berwick, who worked in the Clinton administration.
Isn't that Cambridge, up in Cambridge?
Yeah, Cambridge, Boston, right. You know, back and forth. Pharmaceutical companies. Ranbaxy Labs, which ends up 10 years later in 2013, gets hit with 7 felony counts and a $500 million fine. Gilead Sciences, which has been highlighted recently for producing or getting attention to lead the vaccine effort for this coronavirus. So we look at these entities, and we see time and again that there are massive amounts of U.S. government funds. And really, what were the Clintons playing? And we laid it out both in the congressional hearing and in our submission. What they did was they were middlemen. They were agents. They were acting as agents or brokers of, you know, funds from whether it was the U.S. government, other foreign governments, these donors, and taking fees. And so monies were both coming and going, and they're, you know, right there in the middle. They're like, okay, fine. You know what? You got yourselves a real business here. Pay your tax. You know what? You got a $3 billion top line. Okay, it looks like you've got a 15% operating margin. Again, this is before we get into a more rigorous audit of their books, like, okay, well, wait a second. You know, to what degree were these expenses legit? You know, and it looked like there was a lot of algorithmic activity on some of their expenses when you look at line items and it's like other, you know, representing 8 to 10%. Then you have other line items, all of, I mean, literally on their 990s, other expenses, other. And then you go further down, all other expenses. It's just like, you know, come on, are you kidding me? But this is really what the Clintons, they utilize their position to, as an agent. And it was the sort of thing like, okay, there are plenty of people around the world. Let's get close to the Clintons. But over and above this, though, who was really even, what I would maintain, even above the Clintons, central to this entire, John was talking about this ecosystem or swamp or deep state or whatever, you know, smack in the middle of it was Bill Gates. I mean, he is all over this entire space. And he not only sits on the board of that Unitaid, heavily involved with the Global Fund, heavily involved with these pharmaceutical companies. And the fact is, these pharmaceutical companies, both Ranbaxy and also Gilead, they were distributing adulterated medicines. I mean, in fact, an executive at Ranbaxy.
Tainted medicines. You're talking about tainted medicines. Like, they're not real.
Tainted medicines. They have such little effect, and what happens is it leads to significant levels of drug resistance. These are like ticking time bombs that they have sent across large parts of the developing world. And there was a quote from a Ranbaxy executive at a 2005 meeting that was sourced from a whistleblower at Ranbaxy by the name of Dinesh Thakur, and is highlighted not only in a Fortune article in 2013, but then also in a book called Bottle of Lies. And what did this executive at Ranbaxy say when the whistleblower said, hey, you know, we are putting out, you know, adulterated meds, bad data behind these. This executive said, and especially in light of everything that's going on in the country today, this Ranbaxy, who is a partner of the Clinton Foundation, states, who cares? It's just blacks dying. That's a quote that has never been denied and has been referenced many times, both in well-known periodicals and in this book, Bottle of Lies. So you know what? If anybody at the Clinton Foundation, you know, they should answer to that. How is it that you partnered with this an outfit that could do that? And why is it that the FDA, when presented with the information by this whistleblower in the 2006-2007 time period, in the DOJ, both the FDA and the DOJ dragged their feet. And we looked at all the actions that were brought against Ranbaxy every year. And it wasn't until 2013 that the DOJ finally said, you know, enough is enough. But the interesting thing about that case, That case finally, you know, went to court and was settled on May 13th, 2013. And your listeners would be very interested in knowing, okay, so May 13th, 2013, it was a Monday, and it was down in Maryland where that was, where that, you know, settlement occurred and judgment occurred. On that prior Friday, okay, May 10th, Lois Lerner, then the head of the IRS tax exempt group, takes a planted question at an IRS press conference regarding, you know, was the IRS targeting Tea Party groups? Becomes a major news event, right? Think that was conveniently planted to provide some cover for the Clinton Foundation so that they didn't get jammed up with their partners at Ranbaxy on Monday? We have detailed timelines. I mean, so the case that we've presented, you know, we put it in case format and then chronological format. And we literally go week by week, month by month. And you just look at the correlation between events and paints quite a story. But those two dates, May 10th, Lois Lerner takes the planted question 3 days before Ranbaxy pleads to seven felonies. Pretty interesting stuff, right?
Well, don't forget, too, Dr. Deborah Birx, she was in a role with the CDC at the time, and she was allowing you know, despite the fact that the FBI had raided Rambaxi's headquarters, and there was it was public information that there was a criminal probe. The government was still doing business with these guys and paying for the drugs and doling it out, doling out tainted and phony drugs and vaccines while the FBI was investigating the company for widespread fraud and money laundering. And Burks was rubber stamping that while the FBI
but
was.
Larry, where else is Burks a member of? Where else? What board is
Dr. Burks is on the board of the Global Fund. And
yeah, it's insane. What you're talking about is insane.
Again, what we see here is it's all the same organizations doing all the same stuff. And so Michael, we lay all this stuff out on these different whiteboards, and we've got cash flows and org charts and, you know, all this stuff. And we lay this out late 2018, going into the congressional hearing, and then coming out of the congressional hearing early 2019. And we've got, you know, these whiteboards with 15, actually more than that, probably 20, 25 different organizations and universities and drug companies. And it's like, okay, you know, this is a heck of a case. And then, you know, January of this year, like, yeah, there's this virus over in China. And you start hearing about World Health Organization. We see, okay, on our board, World Health and the World Health Affiliates, Global Fund and Unitaid. It's like, okay, you know, that's interesting. And then, you know, Bill Gates starts to take center stage with the current, you know, coronavirus, and he's taking a lead role in terms of, okay, you know, these are the things that need to happen. And we've, you know, starts talking, we need a new global fund. We need a new global fund, you know, $2.5 trillion global fund. It's like, oh, how about that? Interesting. I mean, this global fund is $60 billion, so now $2.5 trillion, okay? And you see, okay, who's one of the lead drug companies, you know, being promoted for this a vaccine? Gilead Sciences. I'm like, oh, they're on our board, too, for, you know, distributing adulterated meds going all the way back. Gilead and Ranbaxy had licensing agreements. And, you know, the Clinton Foundation, President Clinton goes out a month or so ago and says, you know, we've got to get involved with this contact tracing. And then all of a sudden, just a couple of weeks ago, okay, who's going to be the lead entity up in Massachusetts for contact tracing? An outfit called Partners in Health. Partners in Health, we blew the whistle on them in February of 2019. And so it's like our board suddenly has come to life.
They're on the whiteboard.
They are on the whiteboard.
And I are watching the television going, wait a minute. We're involved in the JV game, right? The varsity, the varsity game's going on right before. So we're like, stop. Wait a minute. So Larry and I start to go back and start looking at, wait a minute here. Hold on a minute. Are these all the same companies? We go back. We're doing our research. These are the same people. Mr. Kim, who is the head of the World Bank, decides to leave the World Bank with his credentials, with his capabilities, with his contacts and what he's done. He could go anywhere in the world. Where does he end up? Right up here in Boston. Partners in Health. Who's one of the senior directors on the board of directors at the Partners in Health, Larry?
Chelsea Clinton.
But like, wait a minute. So let's take a look back. Has there ever been any time in history where this same group may have gotten together over this contact tracing, and what have you? Well, what do we find there?
Well, in August of 2019, there was a conference held in Rwanda, sponsored by the Aspen Institute. And who was at that conference? Representatives of the Gates Foundation, representatives of Partners in Health, Congressman Bobby Rush of Illinois. And Congressman Rush just so happens to be the lead for $100 billion legislative ask, H.R. 6666. on contact tracing. How convenient, huh?
So we're talking 4 months before the pandemic. These folks are all meeting in Rwanda. All the people who are getting the contracts are meeting in Rwanda 4 months before the pandemic. The timeline is not our opinion. These are the events that go on.
Okay, let's take a step back.
Let me one other point though, Michael, before that, because we've got other, you know, and Harvard University has obviously gotten jammed up because of this fellow Lieber, the Lieber Research Group Harvard. Harvard is on the board here as well. But there was one other very large so-called public charity, D.C.-based, the largest non-governmental recipient of funds from the Global Fund, called Population Services International, also a significant recipient of funds from USAID to the tune of approximately $900 million. And what business are they in? They're involved in for-profit, they basically are a for-profit abortion franchising entity in these developing countries. I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? So what's part of the ask, this $2.5 trillion, you know, UN-sponsored World Health Organization-led ask? What did they come out with just a couple of weeks ago? They said, okay, amongst all the, you know, the need for this funds for the coronavirus and humanitarian support, one of the essential services here, folks, is abortion. You know, that's going to be part of the ask too. And like, oh, how convenient. You know what? We got to get our, these folks from Population Services International involved as well. So it's just like, okay, you know what? Our whiteboard, it's not a close match with what's going on. It's basically an identical match with what's going on here currently.
It's extraordinary.
You just substitute HIV with coronavirus and timestamp it, you know, June of 2020. And we drew these boards late 2018 going into early 2019. It's like, wow.
So it's the same scheme. It's just a different,
just a different virus. Although, your interview with Dr. Mikovits talked about the fact that in this virus, because what's the primary virus that, you know, the Clintons were involved in? It was HIV, primarily. You know, there was some malaria and tuberculosis as well, but they get a lot of their notoriety for HIV. What did Dr. Mikovits talk about and others, the fellow over in France, that there are HIV strains in this coronavirus?
Yeah, that's a fact that's gone unreported. Nobody in the mainstream media wants to touch out with a 10-foot pole. Let me take one step back, you guys, John and Larry. You talked about this. I just want to go back over the steps again. I'm doing my Lieutenant Columbo thing where I circle back and I sound like an idiot. Let's talk about this contact tracing powwow 4 months before the pandemic. Clinton was involved. Let's just spend a couple minutes on that and go back over that, because I don't want that to be. I think that's very important.
To the best of our knowledge, the we're not aware that there were representatives of the Clinton Foundation at this conference. It was a conference held in Rwanda, sponsored by an outfit called the Aspen Institute. Some of the primary funders of the conference were the Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation. Those are the two names that I recall. And, you know, they're talking about a whole host of issues. But it's, you know, dare I say, convenient that Gates representatives are there, representatives of Partners in Health that end up getting the lead up in Massachusetts on contact tracing, and Congressman Rush from Illinois, who's leading the proposed legislation to fund this contact tracing, that they all, you know, they all happen to conveniently be in Rwanda, Africa, you know, 3 to 4 months before this virus starts getting legs over in China.
So you're talking about the fall 2019, like September?
No, it was the conference was held in Rwanda in August of 2019.
Jesus Christ. Contact tracing.
Let's talk to them about this, right?
The thing that jumps out at me is a guy like Mr. Kim, Mr. James Kim, he has a resume where he can go anywhere in the world. Head of the World Bank. He ends up at a not-for-profit 501c3 that virtually no one's ever heard of called Partners in Health. In Boston, Mass., and the next thing you know, they're winning a contract for contact tracing. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, and Jim Kim is—he's going to be their point person in terms of engaging governors around the country. And he went to Partners in Health from the World Bank. I think it was January or February of 2019.
But didn't Partners?
This is This is a globalist ideology.
Oh, completely.
It really is. It's about the way we as human beings from a population standpoint. Larry's talking about companies that are looking to buy for money out of this $2.5 trillion fund for population control. Obviously, Mr. Gates has been very involved in population control throughout the world, as Larry spoke to earlier. I don't know what contract tracing is about other than identification of population movement. I mean, this is a globalist, and they would believe themselves to be visionaries. This is a globalist mindset that the planet is being corrupted by people, and that this little cabal is going to take responsibility for it. It's just shocking, the level of vanity and egotistical views that are being espoused by these people. It's just outrageous.
And as John said, you know, they're taxpayer dollars. Whether it's, you know, the funding of Unitaid with these airline tax, U.S. taxpayer dollars through, you know, going into USAID and PEPFAR, $20 billion of U.S. taxpayer funds going to the global fund, only to have Hillary Clinton, you know, corrupting and colluding with the global fund. And actually, the Clinton Foundation was a subrecipient of global fund monies. I mean, so literally, while she's the Secretary of State, the Clinton Foundation is a subrecipient of global fund monies with no IG oversight. I mean, come on, are you kidding me? What was President Obama thinking? How did he allow her to be Secretary of State in charge of USAID with no IG oversight? I mean, you want to talk about red flags? Those are major red flags. So, I mean, and here we are, a couple of private, you know, Irish guys out of, you know, Massachusetts who dig into it. And we've got, you know, hundreds of documents, both in case format and chronological format, and nothing is inconsistent here. And all this, Michael, was corroborated by people whom we interviewed, both currently working or formerly working at the foundation. So it's not like, okay, well, everything fits, but this doesn't fit. It all fits.
And so you've
know
got
what? We haven't got everything. But we've got enough.
So there's a multiplier here that our case, we were initially denied, which we spoke to in Congress by the IRS, that they would not investigate. And they list a variety of sort of boilerplate reasons. Either we don't have enough resources, or there's, a timing issue, or, you know, there's some boilerplate reasons on sort of a form letter they send you. But sort of the reality of this situation is all of those large-scale donors that donate to the fund, and Larry can give you some numbers on how that shakes out. But in the event that our case moves forward in the activities of the foundation, are deemed not to be illegal. We've never alleged that. What we're saying is they're taxable. All we're saying is those activities they did were taxable. Our case is nothing more than that. It's taxable. And they are by the Internal Revenue Code. They're just taxable. We ran our case by brilliant tax minds, brilliant masters in taxation, lawyers, accountants, financial analysts, really all they do for work, unanimously, every single one of them who reviewed it. And I'll tell you this, every single person we brought it to was a Democrat.